Hello and welcome to the Majlis, the weekly podcast by Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty, focusing on Central Asia. I'm Mohammed Tahir, Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty's media manager for South and Central Asia here in Washington, D.C. It's been some time since anti-China sentiments have been brewing in Central Asia. Earlier, we have seen such signs in Kyrgyzstan, and this weekend, hundreds of Kazakhs took the streets chanting slogans against what they say a growing Chinese influence. We were told dozens of people were fined, some detained, and some since let go. And one of them is joining us today from Kazakhstan. So we have a lot to talk about the protests, also the reasons behind it and possible connections between this round of anti-China protests with the ones held earlier to understand the nature of this growing anti-China frustration of people in the region. To discuss all these, I'm joined by Bota Aljanova, co-founder of the youth movement Kahraman. Bota is the one I was referring to earlier. She is briefly detained during the protest. Bota is joining us from Nur Sultan. Leyla Adiljan, activist and wife of Serikjan Bilash, is with us. Bilash is the director of Atajurt, who is currently in jail for his efforts to highlight Chinese crackdown against ethnic Kazakhs in Xinjiang, I guess. Leyla is joining us from Almaty, and Bruce Panier is with us, who's the editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Central Asia blog, Kishlok Awazi. Bruce is in Prague. Colleagues, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Very nice to have you. So, Bota, let's get started with you. You were among the protesters, not to protest, but to monitor what's going on, and you got detained. Thanks, God. Mm-hmm. You are out now, and it's very good to talk to you. But how the police would explain your detention? Why would they detain you?
Police usually don't explain when detain me. Thing is, I am a witness with the right of defense in this deal. Every time they detain me, they just ask me if I am a DC case protest. That's all.
Mm-hmm. You say like every time they detain you. I mean, you were detained many times?
Yes, I was detained about 4 or 5 times last 5 months.
Wow. What was happening around you when you got detained this time? Obviously, you were not there to protest, as I said, but there were some protests were taking place around you, right?
Right. There was a protest of Democratic Choice of Kazakhstan, mm-hmm. With the theme of something anti-Chinese, Chinese expansion, sorry. I was going to monitor the protest. Mm. Because I'm an observer of Italian Federation for Human Rights, and the president of this federation wrote a letter to the police department of the Republic of Kazakhstan just to warn them that their observers are going to monitor the protest. But unfortunately, I was detained.
So authorities were notified that you will be there as a monitors, and despite that you were detained. So how many people were there in that protest?
In Astana, they were detained about 130 people in Astana only. But in Almaty, there were more than 100 people. And the thing is, many regions protested as well.
So it was not only in Nur Sultan and Almaty. So the protests were also taking place in many other regions. So, Leyla, so where you were during these protests?
I was at home. I didn't go to the protests because my husband was recently released. That's why I couldn't go there, because by the law, he doesn't have any chance to go to engage such kind of actions. Hmm. Because he signed a plea deal, mm-hmm. that's why our government shut his mouth for 7 years.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. Bilash was released. Congratulations on that. And do you want to say? Go ahead.
But I think my husband Serikjan Bilash made a great job, because before our Kazakh people didn't pay any attention to the Chinese problem in Kazakhstan. Right. After my husband worked in an Atajurt advocacy group, Kazakh people realized that our Kazakhstan in danger. There is a big problem of Chinese expansion in Kazakhstan. Right now, China is keeping millions of Kazakh, other minorities, Turkic minorities under torture. Right. They are keeping all of them in the concentration camps. this problem didn't solve yet. And now my husband was released, but he was prohibited by the law to engage in this advocacy group for 7 years. He can't involve himself into the politics for 7 years. And that's why he can't work right now.
Yeah.
But other members of Atajurt are working very hard. And before my husband, Sirijan Bilash, was released, there were two members of Atajurt. Hmm. They were working, but recently they betrayed the Atajurt members. They are registered, the Atajurt advocacy group. Before, our government didn't allow to register this group, but they registered it, and it shows that it looks like that they are working, but in fact they wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we don't have anyone from the other group to respond to your claims, Leila, so that's why we are going to move on to other notes that I have. So, Bruce, do you want to jump in here? So I hear Mukhtar Avliyazov's name mentioned a lot, especially talking about these weekend protests. Do you have any insight, and what's the connection to Avliyazov?
Well, I mean, he had called for protests on September 21st. I am not under the impression that certainly the majority of the protesters that actually did show up on September 21st were sympathetic to his group or came out to heed his call because he told them to come out and protest. I think it was a date that was named, and it seemed like other groups decided that since there might be some civic actions going on, that they would go out and present their case too. You know, Botha would know better than me, but as far as I can tell, the groups that have been staging the protests, have been organizing the demonstrations lately, Oyan Kazakhstan, people like that, aren't, you know, we've heard them say on our program that they have no connection to the DVK at all. But, you know, for what it's worth, he did actually say, come out on the street and, you know, on the streets and demonstrate against the government. But what I saw was not that it was a pro-DVK demonstrations that were going on. It seems like other people showed up because they had their own concerns and they weren't connected with DVK. And that's why we end up with the anti-Chinese demonstrations against the expansion of Chinese influence. You know, a lot of things out, Kazakh government continuing to take loans from China and incur debt to China, things like that. But that wasn't connected with DVK. Again, it'd be good if Botha would comment on if there was any connection with DVK. But, you know, from where I was sitting and watching on Saturday, I didn't see anyone come forward or read that anyone came forward and said, you know, I'm coming out here because Mukhtar Avliyazov called. It just happened to be a convenient time to hold protests, even though he was the one that called them. Other groups took advantage of that date and came out with their own agenda.
Mm. Botha, anything to add to that? I mean, when people were in the streets in the weekend, whose call they were responding? Was it the Avliyazov's rally, or the people were there on their own representing their own NGOs? How the organization looked like?
The protest was the DCKs, the DVK, but there were many people who don't support DVK, but they don't want the Chinese expansion as well. So people go for a protest.
Hmm. You mentioned, Botha, something in the line of growing Chinese influence. I really like to talk about what you mean when you say that. But before that, was there any tipping point on why you guys decided to protest against China? Is there something happened that we don't know last week which triggered all of you to come to the streets and protest about this?
Well, about protest, we don't participate in protest. Maybe
The other people who came to the street. So why they decided to come to the street last weekend? Is something happened that we don't know last week which triggered all those people to come to the street and take part in this gathering?
I think people just don't want the Chinese expansion. That's all. You know that everybody knows that China has economical projects with Kazakhstan, and you know the Kazakhstan sold to China the biggest resources of tungsten in the world.
Right.
So I think people began understand that Kazakhstan is really rich country, and I don't know, they are just against this to sell the resources and earth,
right.
Maybe.
Right. Also, just one point about the Ablyazov connection here. I thought he was kind of using this growing anti-China sentiment to his advantage to gain some political weight. But talking about the anti-China sentiments, it's not only about this weekend, but we have seen various signs of anti-China protests following the former president Nazarbayev's infamous land reform proposal a couple of years ago, and protests in oil-rich towns against China in western Kazakhstan. And of course, frustration against Chinese crackdown against ethnic Kazakhs in Xinjiang, as Leila mentioned. So we have a history of anti-Chinese frustration in Kazakhstan. So is there any connection between them? If so, what comes out when you connect the dots? Let's continue the debate talking about these and many other questions very shortly. First, let me recap the debate that today on the Majlis podcast, I am joined by Kazakh activist and co-founder of Kahraman Youth Movement, Bota Aljanova in Nur Sultan, Leila Adiljan, who is the wife of Xinjiang activist Serikjan Bilash, and Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Central Asia blog, Kishlok Awazi. I am Mohammed Tahir, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's media manager for South in Central Asia here in Washington, D.C. We are discussing why a growing number of people are frustrated against China in Kazakhstan. So, as I said, we have seen a number of protests against China in Central Asia lately. For now, talking about Kazakhstan, Leila, your group Atajurt is angry against China because of its mistreatment of Kazakhs in Xinjiang. That is the only agenda of your group, correct?
Yes, for the first time it was this reason, because there are a lot of people whose family members are in China. Their family divided by Chinese politics, and for example, a lot of small children whose fathers, mothers are in China, a lot of wives, women whose husbands in concentration camps in China, right. And they want to work with small children, and government also doesn't support them, don't give them any help. They can't work, they don't have any food in their houses. So Atajurt was helping to these people. They collected money from people who can give, then they help to the people who don't have any food, who, in, for example, in winter, it's very cold.
Right.
And Atajurt supported all of these people. I also want to add that in Kazakhstan, there is a very big danger of Chinese expansion, because we heard that in schools, in kindergarten, started learning Chinese. It isn't.
Why it is dangerous to learn Chinese? It's another language, and learning languages are good, isn't it?
I think at school, in kindergarten, small child has to learn his mother tongue first.
Mm-hmm.
And then he grow up, he can learn any kind of language.
Right.
When you learn language, you don't learn learn only language. You can, you have to learn also a culture of this language,
right.
Of this nation. Yes,
right,
and
right.
I think small child has to learn his culture, his mother tongue,
right.
Mother language.
So that's the Atajurt's cause, Bruce. So oil workers in Aktoba or some other cities in Kazakhstan, they also came out occasionally protesting against China. What is their issue? What are their demands?
Well, there's a few things going on here. Oil, of course, is one of the first contracts that China ever signed with Kazakhstan for the construction of the oil pipeline. That goes back to the late 1990s. You know, with any project that China invests a lot of money in, any big construction project, they always make sure that there's an opportunity for them to bring Chinese workers, because, of course, they have to employ their own people. So they bring Chinese workers to these sites, too. Now, there have been disputes over the disparity of pay, for instance. You know, that some of the Kazakh workers in western Kazakhstan thought that the Chinese workers who were doing the same work as them were getting paid more money than the Kazakh workers were. So this was a problem, too. There was a problem earlier in the summer about some of the Chinese workers, you know, and local girls, you know, and then that caused some friction, too.
Okay.
You know, and then, and again, I mean, you know, I've said I don't I haven't seen the Chinese worker specifically in Western Kazakhstan, but I have seen him in other places in Central Asia, and they tend to live in their own quarters. There's special facilities that are built or constructed for them, and so they don't really mix with the people. So it's really strange that they're working there, but they're separate from everybody else. So this kind of makes it a lot easier for disagreements to crop up in places, and for there to be these kind of disputes, because they don't mix with the local people very much. They come to the work site. A lot of times they're working separately from the local workers, and then when work is over, they go to their own places and don't really mix too much with the people. Right. So, there do get to be these stories about what are the Chinese workers up to when they're not working? What are they doing in town at the bars with local girls? Like I said, are they really making more money than we are if they're doing the same work, or maybe even not as hard work as Kazakh laborers are doing? So like I said, there's a lot of things that play into this dispute because the two groups don't mix very much in Kazakhstan.
So both about the last weekend's protest, and I heard you saying again and again something in the line of growing Chinese influence, anger of people against growing Chinese influence. So what do you mean by that? What should we understand when you say growing Chinese influence?
Well, I've told you about 55 factories that are about to build in Kazakhstan. Also, as told Leila earlier, that there are schools and children begin learn Chinese language. I can't tell you right now how the expansion looks like, but people are not happy with the idea that the China can conquer Kazakhstan.
Yeah, Bruce, do you like to jump in here? I mean, we are talking about Kazakhstan today, obviously, because of the protests over the weekend, but it's not only about Kazakhstan. We have seen earlier protests in Kyrgyzstan. So what is that people are irritated by, and is there any connection between them?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, okay, well, first of all, China, you know, Kazakhstan is a big country in terms of territory with a very small population, 18 million people, a little bit more than that, right? And so, of course, when they look at next door and see this country that has, 1.3 billion or close to 1.4 billion people, they're running out of room for people where people can live, naturally this is a concern, because you're worried that they're going to come and possibly take some Kazakh land. And we got to remember that Kazakhstan did give up some land to China in the late 1990s as part of the new border agreements that were settled. I mean, the Kazakh side would say, well, we kept 54 or 56% of the disputed land that China claimed, and gave them the less than half of what they wanted. But the point was, that was all Kazakh land before the Kazakh government decided to give it up. So there's already precedent to look at this and go, oh my God, the Chinese have already stolen land from us. This is what caused the protests during the land privatization scheme, because the rumor had spread that this land was going to be up for sale and anyone could buy it, and people were worried that the Chinese with money would come and buy Kazakh land and permanently settle there. And some people thought there would be a million Chinese living in Kazakhstan within 10 years. That maybe there wouldn't be that many, and there certainly aren't that many now, but there's more Chinese in Kazakhstan now than there were 20 years ago when there was really none. So it's visible that they are there. And then besides, it's also visible that they're funding a lot of projects, and that their government is taking on a lot of loans and grants from the Chinese and working very closely with them. So this is another concern. Is Kazakhstan going to become a victim of economic colonialism, where they're so dependent on Chinese money that they aren't really an independent country anymore? And then I think, the thing that really had added a lot to the concerns is the situation that we were talking about in Xinjiang, where people have seen that, including ethnic Kazakhs who had already gotten citizenship or certainly residency in Kazakhstan, have disappeared in Chinese re-education camps. And the stories have gone around about ethnic Kazakhs being taken into these camps too. So there's a lot of different factors that are compounding the bad image of China inside Kazakhstan. And people are concerned about, their government doesn't seem to be standing up to China when problems arise that concern ethnic Kazakhs. They seem to want to keep everyone to be quiet about it, which is another problem for the government too.
Right. So, Leila, let's break it down a little bit, starting with you. Obviously, I hear your anger and anger of those who are the member of Atatürk when looking into the treatment of ethnic Kazakhs in Xinjiang. When you go out to protest, to demonstrate about those issues, what kind of response you get from the authorities in Kazakhstan?
I can give one example. For example, there are a lot of companies, organizations,
right,
which consists of Kazakhs, ethnic Kazakhs and local Kazakhs. And these organizations and companies working for Chinese government.
Hmm.
For example, one woman, Saltanat Kosman, was arrested recently by a Chinese company, and they are making protests. And when I talked with this woman's sister, she sent me a lot of information about these company's illegal works. They aren't paying any taxes. They are just making a lot of money from Kazakhstan.
You know, my general question here was, maybe let's bring in both of you here. So, you know, you are angry. I mean, people are angry in Kazakhstan against what you say growing Chinese influence. So they are protesting about it. But are these protests making any difference? Are authorities listening to you? Are authorities doing anything about it?
No, authorities usually don't do anything. Authorities just, police just detain the protesters and jail them for 15 days. That's all. This is all the authorities do. But in my opinion, people are not too angry against the Chinese authorities, because the thing is, in Kazakhstani authorities, they just let China buy Kazakhstani earth and resources. I think there is no anger against China.
Hmm, that's interesting. Bruce, then let me ask this question. Yeah, people are also angry about the way the local authorities behave. They have lots of frustration about them. So is China becoming some sort of tool for these activists to express their anger against local authorities?
No. I don't think so, because we have many problems, and China and Chinese expansion is not a tool to express the protest, because in Kazakhstan there are many problems that we want to express. Me too. I'm a civil activist, and I would like to tell the government that we have many problems, but all the government do is nothing. They just, you know, recently has begun in Warsaw, in Poland. There was an event with the OSCE.
Right.
And the Kazakhstani delegation told that Tokayev has made many improvements in Kazakhstan, but I don't see anything. And all they did, the Kazakhstani delegation, they just told that there are many improvements and everything is fine in Kazakhstan. That's all. It's not right. And I would like to build a dialogue with Kazakhstani authorities, but they don't listen to us. Even in protests, they just don't let people to gather and to express the protest. They just preventively take people from their houses, like it was a couple of times with me and to another activist.
So, Bruce, let me bring you in here. Obviously, people have lots of problems with the authorities, local authorities there in Kazakhstan and other Central Asian countries. And China is also becoming one way people express their opinion. I mean, that there are some legitimate concerns, as Bota and Leila said, about Chinese activities in those countries. What I'm thinking about is China becoming a topic in domestic politics in some of these Central Asian countries? Do you see China becoming an issue, let's say, in the next election in Kyrgyzstan, next election in Kazakhstan?
Well, more so probably in Kyrgyzstan, simply because it's more open. You know, Kazakhstan's elections are much more managed, and there's not really much opposition presence, certainly in the campaigning, and certainly not on election day, as far as the ballots are concerned. It's an issue. You know, I mean, there's a lot of issues, certainly in Kazakhstan, that people are upset about, you know, but this is a unique issue in some ways, because if the problem if people are unhappy about housing or mortgages that they had that they incurred before the currency devalued. You know, there are a lot of other things that are domestic issues in Kazakhstan. The government can work to correct this, you know, as we've seen they have done, you know, that they wrote off some of the mortgages for families. They're trying to get housing and address the problems that mothers with many children are bringing up. Concerns about China are a little bit different because the Kazakhstani government, one, has to deal with China. It's a neighbor, a direct neighbor with a border.
Right.
It's invested a lot of money in Kazakhstan. And so the government doesn't want and really can't afford to lose this partner. On the other hand, it can't be seen to be giving in to China. Mm. It can't. If the people of Kazakhstan get the idea that the Kazakh government is more interested in good ties with China than they are about taking care of their own people, this is a huge problem, clearly. And, you know, and they've already been walking the tightrope, so to speak. Mm-hmm. They were going to, you know, China wanted them to hand over that Kazakh woman who had come into the country illegally. I'm sorry, Saira Gul, I think, was her name. And this was a big issue for them. The Chinese wanted her hand over. And that was, since she was already on Kazakh territory, the Kazakh people, even people that didn't have a direct connection with China in any way, didn't have relatives from there, weren't repatriated from China. You know, just Kazakh citizens that have been living there were against this idea. You know, so this is the kind of thing that the government has to face when they're trying to deal with these issues. They can't give in to China all the time, especially when it concerns ethnic Kazakhs and certainly the people that are already the Kazakhs that are already on Kazakh territory. It can't look like Chinese workers get better conditions for working in Kazakhstan than Kazakh workers get working in Kazakhstan. You know, so these are a lot of real hot buttons that have to be dealt with.
So what's the answer to all these questions? I mean, the Chinese influence, the type of issues that we are talking about today, it's certainly to grow going forward. You know, remember, Obor project. There will be lots of more Chinese coming in, lots of Chinese money coming in. It will certainly grow. So what's the solution for this problem? What are the authorities' options?
Well, personally, I don't see that they have much of a solution. You know, what they're doing now is maybe all that they're ever going to be able to do. You know, a lot of people would like them to stand up to China. You mentioned Obor or Belt and Road Initiative, BRI, whichever they're calling it these days. Kazakhstan is a very important country for that global trade network. I mean, it is the mainland country coming out of China. You know, the other countries are all sea routes, but Kazakhstan's a solid neighbor, and China needs those railroads. So it's not like Kazakhstan doesn't have any leverage at all. If Kazakhstan wasn't part of Belt and Road, it would seriously impact on the ability of China to move goods westward and down into the Persian Gulf. Hopefully there will be a day where Kazakh authorities can use that to their advantage in dealing with China. Till now, they have not. I do not believe they've used it as sufficiently as they could. But certainly China is there to stay. You know, it would be impossible for Kazakhstan to cut them out right at the moment. The biggest investor in Kazakhstan right now is Chinese companies, I think. Or if they're not, they're very, very close. Just, again, proximity and interest. So you can't entirely cut them out. But like I said, I can understand where a lot of people in Kazakhstan get the idea that their government is more interested in pleasing Beijing than in pleasing pleasing Kazakhstan's citizens. And that's dangerous and it shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
But I don't see that there's any way they can get out of that.
Mm-hmm. Let me get Bota and Leila, your points shortly, starting with Bota. So what you guys want, what the activists want from Kazakh authorities to do in response to some of the frustrations that you have been raising?
We would like Kazakhstani authorities not to ignore human rights and to let people express their ideas. And we would like to existence of freedom of speech and to let authorities to let make peaceful protests. And we would like our judge system to be not corrupted.
So when it comes to your feelings about China or growing Chinese influence, what's that you want from Kazakh authorities to do?
Well, a good question. I would like, I'm not against with China. I'm okay with that. But I would like the Kazakhstan authorities not to sell our earth and our resources. It's not legal. And I would like just to stop the selling of our earth and resources to every international companies.
Is that okay if they sell those things to Russia or to other country?
No, I don't think so. We have resources. We can make our own factories and we can sell it by the world. Why do we need to involve China or Russia or any other countries in this? Right. We can do it by ourselves.
Okay, let's end the discussion, Leila, with you. You know, I hear your, you know, frustration that authorities do not respond to, you know, lots of demands that you have. But what you want authorities to do about some of the frustrations that you have?
I agree with Bota, and I also want to add, I would like that our authorities raised the problem of Kazakhs, ethnic Kazakhs in China, and to let them, all of these Kazakhs, come to Kazakhstan to be free, to reunite all the families. Next, I want that our government authorities would think more about our Kazakhs, our independence, because we know that there is no any war, but we see that there is an economical expansion of China. I want that our authorities would stop all these actions with Chinese language in Kazakhstan. We don't need to learn Chinese from schools, from kindergarten, and about all these projects with China. We can do it with another countries, not only with China. And about the money which our authorities took from China, I think we needn't any money from China.
Okay, thank you. Unfortunately, with this, we have to conclude the discussion here. Thank you very much, Xinjiang activist Leila Adiljan, Kazakh youth activist and co-founder of Kahraman Youth Movement, Bota Aljanova, and Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty Central Asia blog, Kishlok Owazi. Thank you, colleagues, for your time and thoughts today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And this is it from me, Mohammed Tahir, host of the Majlis podcast. Until next week, bye-bye.